important and powerful. And it's something that you need to activate your soul in and just move a little bit. Just activate your heart. This can't be complacent. This is so valuable. You've got to understand how valuable the word is that's being spoken over you, because it's a prophetic word for the next week. And he's speaking to you about the next week, and he's going to give you insight and revelation and direction. And you need it. You need to know where to go and where not to go. You need to know when to turn and when not to turn. And today, the word is coming to you for that very purpose. So just stretch your hands out and say, God, I'm ready. I'm ready, Lord. Whatever you have, God, my ears are attentive. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
Knowing God's ways. Do you know his ways? Psalm 103:7 says this: he made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. So this idea of knowing the ways of God refers to really understanding his character, who he is, his principles, and his intent behind his actions. And then the acts of God is really, you're talking about the things that he does, like the miracles, the signs and wonders, the different ways he moved, like parting the Red Sea, those kind of things. That's what that's about. In reality, one is about seeing the things of God and what he does, while the other is really knowing about his heart and how he moves. I find it fascinating that Moses, the one that knew God's ways, he prayed an interesting prayer, and it's found in Exodus 33, verse 3, and it says, "Now therefore I pray." And I encourage you, as I'm reading this, to pray this. "If I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I might know you, and that I find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people." So maybe you're saying, like, what's the difference between seeing his ways and his acts? What difference does it make? Well, one of them brings transformation through relationship. The other is just understanding what people do. And take me, for example. You know that I preach sometimes. You know that I teach. If you came on Wednesday nights, you know that I served in the kitchen some. You know that I love prayer and I lead prayer. So you really know me, right? Now that you know those things, you know everything about me, correct? No, that's knowing the things that I do. But if I asked you, who am I? What's my favorite thing? What makes me cry? What makes me laugh? If I asked you those kind of things, what's on my heart? What do I long to see in your life and in my life? If I asked you those and you can answer them, then you would actually know me. And it makes such a difference. So it actually, knowing God and his ways actually brings such a change in our hearts and our lives. I read this story. I'm not sure I can tell it as well, but I'm going to try. There was a man who did a show. He would go from place to place doing a show. And he would go into like a village, and he'd find the two tallest buildings, and he would string a rope from one to the other. And then he would go out throughout the town, and he would try to get people to come. And he'd say, "Come and see me. I'm going to walk on this tightrope without anything underneath to catch me. Come and see me do it." And he would go until he had a huge crowd gathered. And once he had a crowd gathered, he would say this. He says, "Do you really believe that I can walk on that tightrope from one side to the other?" And the crowd would go, "Yeah, yeah." And so then he said it again. He said, "Do you really believe that I can walk on this tightrope from one side to the other? You really believe it?" And again, the crowd cheering him on, "Yeah, yeah." And then he comes again and he says, "Do you really believe that I can do this?" And at this point, the crowd's getting annoyed. And they're like, "Yes, we said, just do it." He said, "If you really believe that I can do this, who will come and let me carry you across as I go across?" And there was absolute silence in the crowd. And he said, "You said you believed me. You said you believed that I could go from one side to the other. Who will let me carry you?" And again, there was silence, and all of a sudden, a little voice, a young man, a boy, he came up and he said, I'll let you carry me across. Come, take me. I'll do it. And the crowd is like, who is this courageous young man that would dare to go in this man's arms and go across? And they're talking about, who is he? And no one seemed to know. And all of a sudden, somebody said, I know who that is. I know who that is. That's that man's son. And he took his son and he carried him across the tightrope. And you see, all the crowd, they thought he could do it. But they didn't know his heart. They didn't know his passions. They didn't know what was inside of him. But his son knew him. And he knew that he was safe. He knew that he was protected. He knew that he would take him across that. And it's that relationship. It's that kind of connection that actually allows you to know the ways of God. And then you respond. You respond in faith and obedience. So again, do you know the acts of God or the ways of God? So I found an interesting verse. And it actually shows you three categories and actually will show you where you're at in knowing the ways of God. Is that cool or what? So I want to give you a little background for it, because if I just throw a verse up there and you don't know why it's there or where it came from. So it's found in 1 Kings, but it's this verse. It's this man just jumps into the scene. He pops onto the scene. His name is Elijah. He actually is one of the greatest prophets in the Bible. But it's fascinating. No one knows who his parents are. They don't know where he was. They don't know how he came to be a prophet. Where did his calling come? In fact, it's actually been challenged whether he was actually an Israelite or not because of what the verse says. And so with that background, I'm going to read this verse to you. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. It said, "And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab," Ahab was the king at that time. He was a wicked king. But he said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there will not be dew nor rain these days except for by my word." Now, which category did you fall in? Did you get the three categories? Did you see them? I'm just seeing blank looks. What's the problem here? Well, let me show you the three categories in this verse. Is that good? Okay. Category number one, it says this. It says, "As the Lord God of Israel lives." Did you see that on there? "As the Lord God of Israel lives." You see, Elijah, he knew the God of Israel. Everyone else thought the God of Israel was dead. But Elijah, he knew that the Lord was very much alive. And he was actually a supreme reality in Elijah's life. He knew that the Lord of Israel lived. So sometimes we as people, we come and we come to know Jesus and we ask him into our heart and we accept and he accepts us. And we understand that Jesus paid the price for our sins with his precious blood. And that's the beginning of knowing God, right? You know who God is. You know that he's alive. You know there's a God. The problem is that many times people stop there and they take up residence and they know him, and that's good enough. I know him. I know him. What more could there be? And all they really know is the basic facts about God, that I'm saved. Maybe, is this you? You're just saved, and that's how you know God, and that's it. So category two, Elijah says this, before whom, he says, "As the Lord God lives," and then he says, "before whom I stand." It's fascinating. Elijah stood in the presence of Ahab in that verse, at that time, in that moment. He stood in the presence of Ahab, who was the king. But he was more conscious of the presence of someone who was greater than any earthly king. He said, "In whose before whose I stand." He said, "Before whom I stand, the Lord God of Israel, before whom I stand." Elijah lived in the presence of God. He lived in that. And he pursued to know God more. And maybe that's like you. He prayed and he talked to God, and maybe he really hungered and thirsted for more. I hunger and thirst for more, don't you? I mean, they're faithful to people in this category. They're faithful to read the Bible. They're faithful to pray. They're faithful to go to church. But they stop there and they find satisfaction there, and they get comfortable just knowing more of God and just being in his presence. So maybe that's you. You find yourself in category two. Is it you? And then category three is this. As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand. And then Elijah declared this with great authority. He said, "There shall not be dew nor rain these years except for at my word." You see, Elijah knew his God lived. And he lived, Elijah lived and moved from his presence, and he knew the ways of God so well that he was able to make a declaration with utter confidence. How would you like to stand before the king of Israel, a wicked king at that, and tell them, "There's not going to be any dew or rain"? How many of you would step out in that place? You see, you have to walk in the authority. Category three is that you know God, you stand in his presence, and then you walk out in authority those things which you've been given and gifted and spoken to do and be. And so in Mark chapter 16, it says this, that you can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. That's you guys. It's not up there. I didn't put any of Mark 16 up there, but it says that you can cast out demons. It says that you actually can eat or drink deadly things and they won't harm you. You see, Jesus came and he gave you authority. And so part of knowing the ways of God is understanding that you walk in his authority and that you can do the things he asks you to do, like going around camp praying for kids. Yeah. Those kind of things, because you actually carry his presence and you walk in an authority that he has gifted you with. You see, he didn't take his authority and keep it in heaven. He released it over those who love him. And you have authority to say and to do some things. You talk about a challenging prophetic word. There's not going to be any rain or dew for 3 years. And that, it's interesting, in James 5:17, it gives you a peek in, and it says this. Elijah, this great prophet, this man that showed up in 1 Kings 17:1, he's just a human, just like we are. He's just like you and I. And yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. And then when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain and the earth began to yield its crops. Isn't that fascinating that he so understood the presence of God, was compelled in the authority of God, that he spoke something that was literally a challenge? I don't know about you, but I would have a hard time giving that prophetic word, would you not? And so 1 Kings 17:1 says, it shows us as people that we can know our God's ways. And that we can walk in them. We can live in his presence and we can walk in his authority. I actually believe that when we really know God, it's easy to step out and walk in authority. When you really understand that what he's asked you to do, he'll empower you to do it. When you really understand that when you stand at the pulpit, he'll actually anoint you. When you stand up and lead worship, he'll actually use you. He'll actually flow through you. When we understand that when he gives you a picture or a word, that there's purpose in it and it goes way beyond what your human mind can understand or comprehend, that you're not alone, that he's always with you, that he wants to walk and move through you. That's how God, and that's what Moses did, and that's why Moses understood the ways of God. But when the people of God were challenged to walk in the ways of God, they said, we don't want to hear from God. You speak to us. It's too frightening for him, from what he would say. And so they didn't want to hear the voice of God. They didn't want to know there were things that they should do and say and be. And to walk in the ways of God, you might say to me, well, what difference does it make? Why do I need to? And I'm telling you right now this morning that if you don't walk in the authority that God has given you, you will not do the things that he wants you to do. And there's a whole world out there. We don't encounter him like Camille encounters him on a day-by-day, moment-by-moment basis. But there's a whole world out there that are needing healing, deliverance, freedom from depression. They need to know Jesus. They need to know that someone loves them and cares for them. They need to know that he actually can touch and heal them. That's what they need to know. And if you don't know the ways of God, if you don't walk in the ways of God, you will never do those things. You'll just sit complacent and go to church and worship and be happy that you're learning, growing more, you're feeling more. But there's another step. It's actually walking in his authority. So maybe you go, well, how do I do that? How do I walk in his authority? How can I grow in that area? And there's some things that you can do to actually grow in knowing the ways of God. So I'm going to share them with you. The first one is to study the Bible. The Holy Word of God. I want you to know something, church. This is not words on a page. I don't care who says what. This is full of life. And this will bring transformation to your very being. And in its pages holds truths and understanding and the knowledge of God. It will show you the ways of God. It will lead you and make you understand how he moves and why he moves when he does and all the different aspects of it. It reveals his very character. Think about like Psalms 23. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. So you read that and you study that chapter. And out of that comes an understanding that he's my shepherd. That means that he's going to lead me. I don't have to worry if I'm going the right way because he's my shepherd and he's going to lead me. And it says that he'll lead you into green pastures beside still waters. That means he's going to take care of me. He's going to take me where I need to go and give me what I need to do that. He is there for you. So you're studying it, and all of a sudden an understanding of God's care over you comes out of Psalms 23. And it even promises that when you go through the tough things, through the shadow, the dark places of life, through the valley of the shadow of death, all those things, he is with you. He takes you through it. And in the other side, he actually prepares a table for you in the midst of your enemies. And so you study the word and you read it and you think about it. And there comes an understanding in our spirit, man. And a transformation comes and we go, oh, that's who God is. So I read an interesting quote this week from a book by Kenyon Bridges. And it's been stirring in my heart. He says this: every miracle begins with the word. The word of God is pregnant with the miracle working power of God. I'm like, okay, God, your word. I love what Hebrews says. It says that it's alive and active. It actually divides inside of me between that which is him and that which is not. I love that about it. So studying the word builds an understanding of the God you serve, and it will increase your knowing him. The second way that you can increase in knowing the ways of God is to study the names of God. Isn't that interesting? He reveals himself through his names. And so each name of God shows a different dimension of himself. It's almost like climbing a ladder towards him. understanding more and more. It's another aspect of who he is and what he's like. You can learn and understand his way of operating through the revelation that comes through his names. As I read this, it said in ancient cultures, to know the name of someone was to know something very essential about that person. And that's the way it is with God. He began to reveal himself. I'm the El Shaddai, right? And every single name relayed another truth about who God was. And so maybe at the top of it was when he said to Yahweh, when Moses said, who do I tell people that is sending me? And he says, I am. I am. And in that, I am, it means to be. He's self-existent. He's not dependent on anyone or anything else for his existence. He's the creator and sustainer of everything. And so he was revealing that to him. And so also a part of that word Yahweh, which is who he is, the I am, that Yahweh name, it is the fact that he's immutable. And maybe that word doesn't mean a thing to you because maybe you don't ever use that word. But I want you to understand something. When he said that, he was saying, I don't change. He says, I am the same. I'm the same always. His nature, it remains the same. You don't have to get up and wonder, wonder what he's like today. What kind of mood is he going to be in today? What is he going to be willing to do today? Or maybe I should wait till tomorrow. It isn't like that because his nature never changes. And it says in Malachi 3:6a, it says, for I'm the Lord and I do not change. That's simple, right? I'm the Lord and I don't change. How about in Hebrews 3:8, it says, Jesus Christ, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. They're always the same. And in James 1:17, it says this. Near the end of it says, the Father of lights with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. And so God doesn't change. And so when you understand that God doesn't change, it affects what you will ask and what you will do, because you know he's the same today as he was with Moses. He's the same today as he was with Daniel in the lion's den. He's the same as he was with Paul in the book of Acts. He doesn't change. He remains the same. There's that truth needs to be cemented into you. I find it fascinating. This is just a side note. God is so interested in his people knowing his ways that he, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he'll cause men to write songs about him. And those, so you begin to sing those songs and think about those songs. And one of the songs about his immutability kept playing in my head, about he never changes. He remains the same. And so then, as you're singing it, your spirit man is telling you this is a truth about God. And the more you sing it, the more it gets down deep inside of you. And then all of a sudden you begin to believe that. It is said that what you sing today, they will live in the next year. It's always, that's why it's so important. The songs that we sing, they lead us into truth about who God is. His nature is meant to be planted in your spirit man so that you will know the ways of God. And that song was, your love never fails, never changes. It's always the same. Your love never fails. It never changes. It remains the same. And the third thing you can do, so you can study the word, you can study the names of God, you can study the person of Jesus Christ. Colossians tells us this, that Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. In Hebrews, it actually says he's the express image of God. So how Jesus lived, how he ministered, how he loved, how he showed all of his heart of the Father, it gives you a heartbeat of the God that you serve. It shows you his ways. Look at all Jesus did and how he did it, and you will know the ways of God. Study how he moved every step of the way, everything he did, and you'll know the very heart of God. You see, that God's heart is to bring. You see, when Jesus reached out and touched people and they were healed, and we read them, we read all the stories. We see arms grown out. We see leprosy disappear. We see men raised from the dead. All of those things, they're meant to bring healing into our life and destroy the destruction that tries to reign in us. So all of those ways lead us to a greater knowledge and understanding of the ways of God. And those are easy things to do. You want to know God more so that you could walk in a greater authority and be who God called you to do? Study the Word. Study His names. Study Jesus. And they will bring to you an understanding into your very depth of your being that will allow you to change and move and become who God called you to be. See, when we know the heart of God, that's really what it's about. Do you know the heart of God? For you, yourself, do you know the heart of God? But beyond that, do you know the heart of God for those sitting beside you? And then do you know the heart of God for the world out there? Do you actually know the heart of God? He wants you to understand His ways that you can move in the very heart of God. So when we understand the intent of God and we actually grasp the capabilities of God, which nothing's impossible with Him, there is nothing impossible to us who believe. When we actually grab hold of the heart of God, there's nothing impossible to us. In fact, Ephesians 1 tells us this, 1:19, what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe Him? And you believe Him when you understand who He is and how He works and all His ways. He wants you to trust Him. He wants you to know Him. I love the fact that in Daniel 11:32, and I think this is their youth group's key verse. It is? Yeah, I thought it was. I find it fascinating. It says, what is the exceed? It says, tell us that those who know their God will do, those who know their God will do great exploits in the time for people of God to know the ways. It's time. It's time for the people to go. Do you want to do great exploits? Then you got to know Him so you can believe Him and trust Him and walk in His ways. So I want you to stand and I want to close. I don't know, did I put Psalm 86:11 up there? This is a prayer I pray. I didn't even know when I was praying it all the magnitude of what it holds. But I feel like this morning as a church, we need to make this our prayers. You ready? Teach me your way, O Lord. Say that again. Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. You are called, church, and you are able. And it's time for us as a body to walk in the fullness of the ways of God. Let go and let God move through you. Just like He moved in the young people this week, He wants to move in us, church. He wants us to do the same things they were doing.